This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The overall voter turnout rate in the presidential election of 2012 was about 58%, with the rate among young voters, those ages 18 to 29, just 45%. Even in hotly contested presidential elections, why don't more eligible U.S. voters go to the polls? And how can more young people be encouraged to get engaged and vote? A day-long symposium, I Count Because I Vote, is going to be held tomorrow at Northern Kentucky University. And joining us to discuss voting trends and issues are Dr. Michael McDonald of the U.S. Elections Project, Northern Kentucky University Associate Professor of History, Dr. Burke Miller, Austin Stevenson, a member of the NKU Student Government Association, and WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Hello.
Michael, thank you for joining us by phone. Michael, what is the trend when it comes to youth voting? What are we seeing here?
Well, either good news or bad news on this is there hasn't been a lot of change over the last four decades or so. So we've seen relatively lower turnout for young people than older people. That's even if we go back to the earliest surveys back in the 1950s, we see that. But youth turnout's been particularly lower and fairly stable over the last 40 years. Unfortunately, in the very last election in 2014, you were giving some 2012 statistics. Well, things were even worse in 2014. We had a turnout rate that was the lowest since 1942. It was 36%. And among young people, we were looking at a turnout rate of around 25%. So when we think about turnout in presidential elections, yes, there's anemic youth turnout in those elections compared to other groups. But when we get into lower turnout elections, like those midterm elections that we just got through, primary elections, state and local elections, then we see even more, or less, I should say, voter participation among young people.
Hmm. Burke, what's your take on the numbers?
Well, I think one of the interesting questions, and maybe Dr. McDonald can address this, is the way those youth numbers vary according to the turnout over the general population. And at some points we've looked at those and they seem to be directly proportional, and sometimes it almost seems like they're inversely proportional, that there are some issues that students are more interested in and the turnout rate is higher there. And I just wondered what Michael had found on that.
Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So generally when we look at the survey data on this is that when there's a high stimulus election, like a presidential election, most of the higher turnout is coming from people who don't usually participate in the elections, and that's young people among other folks. And so older people.
Oh, did we lose him?
Did we lose Michael there? Okay.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Well, that's absolutely true. That it's a function of who's on the ballot, what the issues are. I think in the last two presidential campaigns, Barack Obama spent an enormous amount of an organizational effort aimed directly at young people and on college campuses, and it worked. And he got people out, and that spiked the numbers up a little bit.
However, what do you think causes apathy among younger voters?
Well,
is it just that it's just that, is it relatability? Is it issues? Just what?
I don't know. I've been covering politics for 40 years. I've talked to a whole lot of people of all ages, voters of all ages. When I talk to young people. And this is true. This was true 40 years ago, as it is now. They would often tell me, and they still do, that they don't vote because they don't believe that politicians listen to them. And then I say, well, politicians, in my experience, listen to the people who vote, which is the older folks, senior citizens. That's why, there's Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid are like the third rails of American politics, because those people vote in great numbers, as do my generation, which is the baby boomer generation. And if more young people voted, more candidates would focus their messages and their organizations on getting out younger voters.
And is this a question of apathy or cynicism?
Okay, well, that's a good point.
You know, in my experience, it's a mix of both. In
sure.
some cases, it's cynicism. In some cases, it just doesn't matter to me. It's not going to affect my life.
Because, you know, even in the 60s when students were protesting to, for example, get the voting age raised.
Right.
You know, and there was all this activism. When they actually, when the 26th Amendment passed, the numbers, there was no real huge spike in the numbers of young people voting.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And as Michael was saying earlier, they pretty much remained consistent over the decades.
Yeah. You know, if you consider presidential elections, the general swing in the last 40 to 50 years has really only been about 10% from the lowest voter turnout in presidential elections to the highest.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the students in there, and that's, you know, that's what I was asking Michael about, the numbers for students varies greatly in there. But I think, just like you said, it has to do with what specific issues are catching their minds and attention at any given moment.
I want to get Austin to weigh in on all this, because he's been hearing people talk about his age group, his generation, saying, well, this and this and this. What do you think, Austin? I mean, why aren't more young people turning out to vote?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to what's been said so far. I think, you know, young people like issues that they can have an easy, quick opinion on. I think young people like issues that, you know, it's very easy to see. You know, there's one side here, there's one side there, and they can, you know, make that quick decision. One thing that I hear maybe more than anything as to why people my age don't go out and vote is they say, you know, well, there's so many people in this country, so many people in this state who are eligible to vote. What does my one vote matter? And that may be true, right, maybe in an individual scenario, but whenever you get that attitude, you know, whenever that becomes a collective attitude of the whole group, that's when I think it becomes a problem. So I think we have to change the attitude of, okay, well, maybe if you individually, maybe the election is not going to be decided by your one vote, but if you take this youth vote as a whole, you know, you have to get that group believing that their vote matters. And I think that's, you know, one thing we have to get people my age to understand is that.
And you think to rally around certain issues or certain candidates or certain causes?
Well, I think certain candidates are definitely a lot more, you know, relatable to students.
Yeah.
When President Obama ran, you know, his first two times, you know, he's a very good talker, very, you know, he can, you know, a lot younger than a lot of other candidates, pretty easy to relate to for a lot of students. But at the same time, you know, if you look at a candidate right now, like, let's say, if you look at Donald Trump right now, a ton of students dislike Donald Trump because I think people my age are, you know, very open-minded about things, and some of his statements haven't necessarily been as open-minded. But at the same time, you know, he's a very polarizing figure. He presents a very outspoken voice, a voice that's much different than other voices. You know, he's not towing the same party lines that other people have, you know, towed. And so I think, you know, that can kind of attract his students.
Well,
I've
been on some college campuses lately, and I've talked to a lot of young people who are supporting Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm. He's probably the best.
The man is,
he's probably the best.
He's
probably the best example. You know, he is 70 years old, but his ideas are not ideas that come up in every single election. You know, I think he presents ideas that you don't normally see. Maybe he has ideas that some people think about, but don't necessarily come out and say. And I think students like people who will just come out and present something new and not be afraid to do that.
So, Austin, what do you think, which is more important to you, and what do you think is more important to people your age? Is it whether the candidate's relatable or what he stands for? What hits home with you?
With me personally or with people my age?
People your age. And then you can tell us personally, too.
I think it's a mix of both. You know, I think students definitely want to see a candidate that they can relate to. But at the same time, they want to see that candidate talk about issues that they can either relate to or issues that they believe will affect not necessarily their generation, but everyone as a whole. So I think it's a blend of both.
Hey, you know, every one of the major candidates is over the age of 60. And does that matter to students, you know, people who are in their 20s?
I think it probably plays into it. But at a certain time, or not at a certain time. At the same time, I think you have to look at how do these candidates portray themselves. You know, they may be over 60. They may have been around for a while, but at the same time, you know, you can still portray yourself as a change agent, as something new. You know, Hillary Clinton, I'm trying to become the first female president. That's something new. You know, she herself may be older, but this could be a new idea. Same thing with Bernie Sanders. He's, you know, 70 years old. I'm not sure of his exact age, but you threw out 70, so I'll say, you know, he's 70 or so odd years old.
Yeah, everybody's above 60 pretty much in this campaign.
But, you know, whenever you present ideas that are not 70 years old, even though some of the things that Senator Sanders throws out and former Secretary Clinton throws out have been around a while, you don't hear about them a lot. So, and I think there's a few things that go into it.
And Michael may have some data on this, but before he gets back, or if he does.
If he does get back.
Yeah, Michael's back with us.
Oh, good.
There he is.
How do you think young people, for either one of you, how are young people getting these messages you're talking about that candidates are presenting, especially young people? How are you getting this word?
I think most college-age students or high school-age students who are of age to vote, it's almost all online. I think the huge percentage of it is coming from online and from social media. You know, it's so easy to see an idea or see something that you agree with, click share, click retweet, click, you know, anything, and you can share it to all your people and put your opinion on it in less than 10 seconds. You know, and I think that's something new. I think that's something the candidates are definitely going to try to take advantage of and already have tried to take advantage of.
Now, are these mainstream media type websites that you're looking at, or are they other alternative?
Well, I think a lot of people my age, have watched mainstream media, but a lot of people my age also kind of shun it because it's mainstream, you know?
Right.
And a lot of college-age students are either forming their own opinions right now, you know, they've just left the home and they're kind of formulating their own opinions, or they're reinforcing opinions they've already had and they're kind of trying to find themselves. So, you know, some students may reject mainstream ideas and some may embrace them, but I think it's just going to depend, vary from student to student.
But if you see on social media, if you see a web ad pop up for a particular candidate, you might watch that.
I myself might, but it's, you know, I'm probably more politically engaged than your average student. The average student, if you're talking about ads, I think the average student doesn't really want to see ads.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see maybe just a quick statement that's been made by a candidate. They don't want to watch a smear ad or, you know, something like that because they're just tired of seeing that. But it's the same time, you know, something just quick, a quick hitter, I think students really enjoy.
Michael, when have young voters spiked over, say, the last 40 years? Have we seen periods where that number you say that's been pretty consistent across the board has actually jumped noticeably?
Yeah, absolutely. So where we do see higher participation by young people, you know, relatively to the other times when they're voting more anemically, is in interesting elections. And so this is really picking up some of the threads that you're talking about. The candidates have to be presenting policies that are interesting to the voters. Maybe the candidates themselves, like a Donald Trump, is somebody, a polarizing figure that draws interest among people into the election. And so it has to be something there. Another part of it is to have a competitive election. So you have to have like in Ohio, you would have a high turnout election because in the presidential election because it's a battleground state. So there has to be something there that makes people believe that their vote matters somehow, and that the issues that are being discussed matters, and that the candidates are interesting to them.
Yeah, and Ohio being a battleground state, I can guarantee you that next year, regardless of who the nominees are of the political parties, there will be massive organizing efforts going on college campuses in Ohio because of the nature of Ohio as a battleground state. It happened 4 years ago. It happened 8 years ago, and it's going to continue.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. So when we're talking about youth vote and problems with youth vote, in some ways we're not really talking about college students. Mm-hmm. I like to tell my students, you're in a target-rich environment for the campaigns.
Yes.
You were clustered on a campus. It's easy for them to get out there and mobilize and make contact messages with you. The real difficult folks to go out and mobilize, and when we're talking about young people, are people who are not in school, people who are lower income, working multiple jobs, may have, you know, young single mothers, those sorts of people who don't have the time to invest and the capacity to vote. Those are the people, if you're really going to talk about how you crack the nut of youth turnout, you've got to really address those folks.
How do you do that, Michael?
you know, and no one's figured it out yet.
No, I mean, so that's the truth, yeah. They really haven't.
What Austin was talking about, the campaigns are certainly doing this sort of thing, which is they're trying to use social media. They're trying to use peer-to-peer contact with those groups. And it's not just the parties. It's like Rock the Vote and other affiliated groups that are interested in youth participation. And they know that it works. They know that the contact works. How do you make that contact with someone who's sort of adrift in our society?
What about the idea of online voting? Would moving toward online voting help reach more young voters? Something they're used to dealing with in the first place. Burke, what do you think?
Well, I think that's being discussed in a couple states, isn't it, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have forms of online voting going on right now, but there's no state right now that truly has online voting. We're probably 2 to 3 years away from that technology that's secure in the United States. So it's difficult to say what the effect would be on young people. It would just be all hypothetical.
But the work that they've done on in the states that are talking about it, there really is no it is as secure as voting, walking in and voting in your voting booth, according to everyone who's looked at these, right?
Yeah. From everything I've gathered, yes. Yes, that's the case.
So my understanding is there's no issue of cheating the vote in some way, doing it that way, or it's more difficult. So what's the opposition to that?
Well, it is possible to hack the election if the system's not completely secure. And there are groups of security experts who have been working on this problem. So as I said, I think we're about 2 to 3 years out from a solution. I think they're going in good directions right now, but we're not quite there yet on having a truly secure system.
What effect do you think that would have on young people voting, though? Is that a question?
The closest parallel that we might be able to find is something that is happening, which is online voter registration. And there, we see young people using online voter registration more often than older people. But there's not very solid evidence to say that the deployment of online voter registration has appreciably increased turnout rates for anybody. But that's the closest that we can get to, I think, within the U.S. context.
Austin, what do you see among your friends and classmates? Are most of them engaged in the elections process, or are they just not interested?
My group of friends probably is more so than if you look at maybe the average college student, like I said, because, you know, just...
You're pretty involved in how your friends are, too.
Just by the nature of what I'm interested in, and, you know, I'm going to associate with people who have similar interests. But as far as, I think, if you look at your average college-age student, I think, kind of the things we've already hit on, they're much more likely to be involved in a presidential election, obviously, than a midterm election, you know. They're, you know, because that's just such a more attractive election, you know. As somebody who is maybe not ever really cared much about politics, it might be difficult to get excited for, I don't know, the House of Representatives race in Kentucky's 5th district, you know?
But what was it like last year when in the senatorial race?
Yeah. That fall time was my first semester at Northern Kentucky, and one thing that struck me immediately was that there was a lot of people trying to register students on campus. You know, like we talked about earlier, we talked about if the election's closed, there's going to be a lot more people trying to register. And there were definitely a lot of people trying to register on Northern Kentucky's campus. And I remember whenever, a few weeks before the election, there was a new poll that was released that said, Allison Grimes leads Mitch McConnell by 2 points. And there's some people who believe that poll was put out by Republicans to encourage some of their older voters, hey, this is not going to be a runaway. You have to get out
there. It's been
known
to happen, Austin. Yes.
You have to get out, you have to get out there and vote. Yes. And I think some, similar things would probably be the case with college students. Like, hey guys, this is going to be a really close election.
Do you see anything going on now? I mean, you've got a governor's race over there.
Nobody's talking about it.
And you're going to a state university.
No one is talking about the gubernatorial race, at least on our campus. Hmm. As far as I've seen,
I think that's right.
I haven't. I mean, and really, just driving around the state, I mean, I haven't. There's not a ton of signage out, I don't think. I mean, it's not garnering a lot of attention, even after the tightly contested Republican primary. You know, 83 votes decide in the winter.
Sure.
And it's, I just don't think there's a lot of chatter going on about it. I don't expect turnout rates for the gubernatorial election to be even close to better.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us this afternoon.
Dr. Michael McDonald of the U.S. Elections Project, Northern Kentucky University Associate Professor of History, Dr. Burke Miller, Austin Stevenson, who's a member of the NKU Student Government Association, and WVXU reporter Howard Wilkinson. I Count Because I Vote is being held tomorrow for students from local universities and high schools. The opening session of the symposium, co-sponsored by the Northern Kentucky Forum, will be held at the Met Center at 9 a.m. It's free and open to the general public, and you can find a link to more information at wvxu.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Today's show was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. I'm Mark Haney. In his book, Saving Capitalism for the Many, Not the Few, former U.S. Secretary of Labor Robert Reich says our economic system is broken and provides his solutions for a more prosperous America. We'll talk with Robert Reich on the next Cincinnati Edition, and we'll hear from a local writer who is traveling cross-country by bus, meeting people and gathering their stories in what he calls the American Journey Project. That Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.